globe spins before a starlit night sky. Golden shafts of light appear behind the globe and spread across the continents. Universal. A snow-covered mountain peak stands tall before a cloud-filled sky. A Paramount picture. California, a John Farrow production. Starring Ray Milland, Barbara Stanwyck, Barry Fitzgerald. With George Koularis, Albert Dekker, Anthony Quinn, Frank Phelan, Gavin Muir, James Burke, Eduardo Cinelli, Roman Bonan, Argentina Brunetti, Howard Freeman and Julia Fay. Screenplay by Frank Butler and Theodore Strauss. Based on a story by Boris Ingster. Lyrics by E.Y. Harburg. Music by Earl Robinson. Music score by Victor Young. Produced by Seton I. Miller. Directed by John Farrow. Audio described by Penelope Parisi on behalf of MCS Agency. A California Republic flag ripples in a soft breeze. The sun sets over the rural, undulating Californian landscape.
Yes, sir. That's where the sun takes his shoes off, puts his feet up on the high Sierras and says, here's where I sit down.
And the waves don't rest until they roll through the golden gate.
When the Lord finished this job, he took a long look and quit creating. Said from now on, I'd just be repeating myself.
Oh, that redwood tree up in the clouds got its roots in California.
Gee, them trees are so big you can carve yourself a Presbyterian church out of any one of them.
Yeah, with enough wood left over for a synagogue and a Baptist mission.
Sure, the master had led to town on the Golden State.
The soil is so rich. One night, a padre left a spade standing up in the ground. The next morning, there was growing from the handle apricots.
When you see a mountain split the sky, brother, you're in California.
Takes two men and a boy to see clear to the top of one of them hills.
A lady eagle once tried to fly over. She got her tail caught and couldn't lay an egg for a week.
Where the peach bloom and love on the way, clear the San Marcos.
An angel's kiss was in the breeze when it flew to California.
Place has got everything but population.
Sister, pack up your washboard.
A wagon train.
Get me my Bible and my banjo. Get me a gun that won't rust. Get me the best mule in Missouri. It's California or bust. Out of my way, you Kansas prairie.
In a small town, a man unloads trunks from a stagecoach.
That's mine.
A smartly dressed man holding a cigar collects his bag, crosses the dirt street, and places it onto a wagon. He then heads towards a wooden building when an elegant lady is thrown out of its doors. She falls down a small flight of steps, landing face down in the dusty street.
Come on, we don't want the likes of her with us. Here's your trunk.
Keep going.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Get going.
Come on, Lil. I'll give you a hand.
Get her out of here.
Let's get over to the stage. It's heading east in about 10 minutes.
East, that's where I came from.
We don't care where you came from or where you go. Just get.
Come on, Lil.
Go on, keep going.
Who's the boss of this wagon train?
I am.
How about a lift to California?
Not a chance.
Ah, Mr. Trumbull. If there's room for all of us, there's room for one more of us. If this girl wants to go to California, she can ride in my wagon, I'm welcome.
Then you'll be traveling with wickedness and mortal sin, mister. I'm warning you. Cards ain't the only thing she cheats at.
That's right.
I'm glad indeed to see that you good women are dead set against wickedness and mortal sin. No, she was at all pretty, there'd be something to worry about, but she doesn't look pretty to me.
Fabian, I think I got something to say about that. I say she doesn't go.
She can pay her way, if that's what you're thinking.
That isn't what I'm thinking.
Then what are you thinking?
For $1,000 cash on delivery, I've guaranteed to lay this outfit down in California all of a piece, and there'll be troubles enough.
Who are you afraid of? Me or yourself?
I don't care what kind of baggage we carry, and I don't want the boys fighting over it.
You say there's trouble ahead of us, Mr. Trumbull. Now, these good women know it's help from divine providence we'll be needing there. And by doing one good deed now, we'll have providence on our side. We should give help where help is needed. Isn't that what the good book says?
I'm with you, Mr. Fabian. A small investment in the Almighty now is liable to pay off big later on when we need it.
Then's all settled and she comes with us, Mr. Trumbull.
It's your outfit, Fabian. I just work here.
Hey, you. Missy, don't get no ideas you're a-coming because we want you. We don't. You're only coming because Mr. Fabian says so. See?
Come on, child.
She goes with Mr. Fabian. On a bright summer's day, the long wagon train, accompanied by people on horseback and on foot, heads across a dry and dusty terrain. As the sun sets, the wagon train stops and a camp is set up for the night.
That's your turn with the saddle, Johnny.
Thank you, Mr. Trumbull.
Joe, you take care of his feet, huh?
What about me?
Well, it'll be your turn tomorrow night. Maybe I'll even let you ride him.
Thanks, Mr. Trumbull.
Bob?
He hands him a rifle, then stops by a man fixing the underside of a wagon.
Hey, Rep.
Yeah.
Better check this rim. He'll be on three wheels.
Sure will, Johnny.
He walks over to a young boy.
Why, hello, Elwin. It's an awful lot of gun you got there.
This is Indian country, ain't it?
Yeah, well, don't plug me.
Oh, it isn't even loaded yet. Look!
Whoa! Pick yourself up!
Doggone your hide, Elwin! Now you've been and woke the baby.
Oh, don't be too hard on him, Mrs. Brown. We need a lot of men like him.
Oh, come on, get your gun.
Trumbo continues walking through the camp.
You sent for us, Johnny?
Oh, yes, Abe. You and Whitey better get around to your sections. Don't warn them to go easy on the water. The next 2 days, a long, dry haul.
Right away, Johnny.
Annoyed, Trumbo spots Lily washing her mane of long brown hair. He goes over to her.
What do you think you're doing? That's water.
I thought it was molasses.
Well, where do you think we get it? Whistle for it? There's 2 days' rations there, and you're washing your hair in it. Ought to make you drink it.
How am I supposed to keep clean?
Stay dirty like the rest of us.
Leaving her chastised, he makes his way over to Mr. Fabian, who is examining a pile of sticks.
How are your grapes, Grandpa? Are your cuttings dry?
Dry. They're pitifully dry. Mr. Trumbull, I heard you talking to Miss Lily. Am I right in thinking you were a little harsh with her?
I'm harsh with everybody. I've got to be. The soft ones don't make it to California. Maybe you think it's easy hauling you farmers over the trail. I'd rather ride herd than some buffalo.
Then why did you hire yourself out as a guide? I often wondered that about you. You're not the type.
Well, maybe you'd like to keep moving.
You know Missouri at all?
Yeah, I've been through it.
I'd have been you out there once. It's good earth, great earth, fine earth.
If you like it so well, why'd you leave it?
Because I want the sun. The sun of California. Not for myself, for my grapes. They catch the sun and save it, and then they let loose the warmth in the heart of man when he drinks the wine they make.
Don't look much like grapes to me. Look like a bunch of dead sticks.
From those dead sticks, I've seen many miracles rise. Every spring in my vineyard, I've seen them bursting out into glorious life. And I'll see it again, please God, in California.
You're not in California yet.
Well, with God's help and yours, we'll be there one day. From these dead sticks, there'll be thousands of acres of grape vines covering the hills like a great green blessing.
Well, well, slick and shiny as a new saddle. Where are you going, Panic, to a dance?
At our present rate of travel, I'd say nobody was going anywhere. Look, for the past 17 days, we've been crawling across this empty desolation. How much longer is it going to take?
Well, I figure it's now about 7. With good luck, no bad storms, no Indian attacks, no sick folks or sick stock. Well, I should think we'd be in California before snow flies.
I'm serious.
So am I.
Well, we're all in a hurry to get where we're going. Mr. Pendick as well as the rest of us. Though perhaps his reasons are different. You don't look like a farming man, Mr. Penny. Sometimes I wonder why you're here at all.
I'm here on business.
Business? Well, that covers a lot of ground. I suppose there'll be more of your kind following the farm, Mr. California. It'll be the next state in the Union, God willing.
In these dangerous times, Mr. Fabian, I wouldn't be so sure there'll be a union left for California to join.
We don't need that kind of talk, Mr. Pennock. Not in this train.
Only a fool would say these are not dangerous times.
A little grease in your tongue, Pennock.
Keep out of this, mule skinner. What do you know about politics?
Why, nothing, Pennock. Nothing at all. We've got people with this outfit from Ohio and Kentucky and Wisconsin and Georgia and from states both north and south. And they're getting along fine, understand? So if you've any more of that talk in you, you better say it to yourself. When we get to California, you can all tear your hearts out for all I care. Me, I'll be having a long drink. But until then, I'm telling you, keep your mouth shut and your nose clean.
Trumbo gives him a knowing look before turning his back on him and walking off. Mr. Fabian mimics wiping his own nose and follows Trumbo. The travellers gather around a campfire.
Oh, my goodness, good in Massachusetts, Massachusetts, Massachusetts. Massachusetts, roll on and roll on and roll and roll. Oh, away out west, beyond the great unknown. The colors that gray my liver, the coyotes are out of my bones. If it hadn't been for the wind law and a wench with a delicate ear, I wouldn't have had to leave the States to be a pioneer.
As Lily joins in the singing, the crowd disperse. Saddened by the obvious snub, she walks away through the crowd of sneering onlookers. Trumbo smiles smugly at her before walking off. Lily removes a bridle from her shoulder, places it on the back of Mr. Fabian's wagon, then sits down next to him by a campfire.
You better take care of your eyes. You'll go blind trying to read in that light.
No. You want to listen to this for a bit and forget about those women out there. A land of wheat and barley and vineyards, wherein fig trees and pomegranates and olive yards grow. A land of oil and honey, where without any want thou shalt eat thy bread and enjoy abundance of all things.
Somebody else going to California?
No, this was thousands of years ago. They were the children of Israel, and God was leading them over the River Jordan to the Promised Land.
They're mighty pretty words. Pretty words, pretty names. I know lots of names. Natchez, Memphis, Savannah, Biloxi, New Orleans. They're pretty names. But they're places that can break your heart, too. None of them had room for Lily Bishop.
California will have room for you.
I'll find a place somewhere. And nobody can throw me out. Nobody. I'm grateful to you for taking me along to the Promised Land. What did you call it?
The book calls it Canaan, but we call it California. Now, mind what I say. Don't let them hurt you. Now, go to sleep, child. Go to sleep.
Yeah, sure. They didn't hurt. They can't. Good night.
Good night, child.
The next day, the wagon train forms a long, single-file procession across a vast, sweeping, grassy terrain. Riding two abreast, a large group of armed, uniformed soldiers carrying a flag ride towards them, saluting as they pass. Lily on horseback rides up alongside Mr. Fabian in his wagon.
It's good to see the soldiers out here.
Sure is.
Well, Abe baked some cornbread last night. I bet they'd sure like some of it.
I'll ask them.
Howdy.
Hey.
Where's your guide?
But he went ahead to scout around a bit. Trumbo back yet?
Ain't seen him, Michael. Well, maybe you can tell me. How's the water hole at Salt Lake?
A horse could be up to his knees in it when we left. It was that deep.
Good. Trumbo, you say his name is?
Trumbo.
That's an unusual name. He wouldn't have a brother, would he?
Never spoke to me of any brother.
I knew a lieutenant for that name once. Campaigned with him. Good soldier, too. the kind you'd expect to become a deserter. Well, keep the trail.
Mr. Fabian looks curious. At night in camp.
Still taking nourishment, huh?
There's no hardship can kill the life that's in them. I feel I ought to take off me hat to these little dead sticks, as he once called them.
Yeah, they still look like it to me.
Johnny, we never mention such things, but have you any brothers at all?
No.
And if it isn't too nosy on my part, we have an army.
What makes you ask that?
Just an old man maundering about the things that are none of his business.
Look, you hired me to take you to California, didn't you?
I did.
I'll take you there. If you've got any questions to ask, you should have asked them before you hired me.
No questions, Johnny, no questions.
Good.
Lily plays cards with a group of men.
Should have stood in Michigan.
Me too.
I pass.
See you, Lil.
Three jacks.
That wins.
Fellas, I'm blue.
Still got your pants, haven't you?
Yes, but I'd hate to go home to the missus without him.
Want to take his place, Trumbull?
Not me.
Saving your money, huh?
Johnny ain't saving his money. He ain't got it yet.
Come on, Johnny. Maybe you can break her luck.
Maybe you can, maybe you can't.
Perhaps Mr. Trumbull prefers some simpler pastime.
You can tame her, Johnny.
What'll it be this time, boys? Half a dollar too steep?
Abe, looks like it might get exciting. Mm.
Too exciting for me, Pokey.
Lily deals the cards.
Pass blind.
I'll bet a dollar.
I pass.
Got a dollar, Trumbull?
Raise it a dollar.
Let's lay out.
Pass.
Well, it's just you and me.
Your dollar and three more.
Lily studies her hand of cards.
That's enough for me. No expensive company, then.
Too hot for me.
Still want to climb those golden stairs, Trumbull?
Looks like he's fallen down them.
I'll raise you five.
I'll call you.
Straight. Full house.
That does it.
They're not marked, if that's what you're thinking, but look at them anyway.
Little summer you learn is your mother's knee, huh?
No, my father's. He was a gambler, played the Mississippi River boats. He always used to say, it's your cheat who's most afraid of being cheated. Better stay on your horse after this, Trumbull. It makes you look a lot more important than you really are. Another thing my father told me, always leave a man burying money. Here.
Back in the wagon, she prepares to go to bed.
What do you want?
Came to give you back your burying money. If I need any favors from you, I'll ask for them.
Aren't you afraid the people will see you? Come in. Sit down. Took you a long time to make up your mind, didn't it?
What do you mean, make up my mind?
Why don't you admit that back in Pawnee Flat there was something else you were afraid of?
You know, for a woman, you're pretty smart.
I am smart. Too smart. I know too much. A woman gets tired knowing too much. Sometimes she likes to be surprised.
Like this, maybe?
Trumbo pulls Lily in close and kisses her with a passionate intensity.
That was what you wanted, wasn't it? That's exactly what you're not going to get.
Yeah. So now you're paying me off, huh?
You sat like judgment on your horse. What did you think when I was on my hands in the dust? I can tell you what you thought. I know what you thought. You didn't wait for any proof. No, no, you knew. You knew just by looking at me. But you're not a hard man to figure. All these weeks when you were trying to shame me, trying to break my heart, that was your way of making love to me. Then you come in here and expect me to fall in your arms and be thankful for the favor you're doing me. You may think you're pretty high and mighty, Trumbull, but let me tell you this. If I live long enough, and I will, I'm going to pull you down off that fancy horse of yours and shove your face in the muck. So help me.
Trumbo slaps Lily across the face. Unflinching, she remains defiant.
You better go, Trumbo.
It's all a hollering about.
Struck it rich in California.
Gold. These men just bought the news.
Gold.
That's right, gold.
Where?
Somewhere's out of Sacramento.
A place called Sutter's Mill.
They're always finding gold in California, but nobody ever saw it.
Well, it's straight this time.
Well, we're headed for California. If you like, you can string along with us.
No, thanks, mister. We'll take a bed for the night and something to eat and thank you for it. But we ain't waiting for no wagon wheel.
We aim to get to California while there's still standing room.
As you like.
I'll lend you a blanket, partner. Just tell me some more about that gold.
Gold in California.
I don't need that news. I don't like to hear.
But it's big news, Grandpa.
Gold, I hate the word. It'll bring us nothing but murder and greed. They steal it out of the ground. They steal it from one another. It's a curse on us that those men brought us the news. Look what it's done already. Look at their faces. Look at their eyes.
A group of men and women walk in a line, their eyes transfixed as if hypnotized.
This is your big chance, Petty, but it won't do you no good if everybody gets there before you.
Go!
Close-ups of staring faces.
The whole world is going to be known about this soon. That's too many people to suit me.
Get your gold, man, come get it. Come get it, man, come get it.
News of the gold spreads. A man taps out Morse code. Men print papers with the headline, Gold Strike in California. A boy sells the Boston Daily Bulletin on a street corner. Men board up their shops and head out west. A man in a barber's chair is left half-shaved as the barber heads off. Wagons are loaded as families prepare for their journey. Farmers abandon their fields and cows are left half-milked. A wagon topples over on a bend on a track as the driver frantically attempts to reach California quickly.
When you plow the plow,
you'll find it in the milk when you milk the cow.
Plow, 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 out of my way to roam and ferry.
As the wagon train disperses, Trumbo notices Lily packing up her bags.
You leaving Fabian's wagon?
I am. Nobody's going to get to California ahead of me.
No, I suppose you got plenty of reasons to hate me, but I won't see anything happen to you. And this wagon train breaking up, that'll be dangerous.
I'll take my chances.
Before you go, there's something I'd like to say. About last night, I mean, I...
Speak up, Trumbo. I might begin to think you're not sure of yourself.
Well, about hitting you, I'm sorry. I'm trying to apologize.
Ready to go, Lil? Is that all you've got?
You going with him?
Yeah, is there anything to say about it?
No. Except I almost made a mistake.
Lily looks curious as Trumbo leaves. Mr. Pennock helps her onto the back of a wagon. Trumbo mounts his horse and rides back to Pennock's wagon. Pennock lassoes his whip at him, wrapping it around his neck. He pulls him off his horse. The wagon then heads off at speed, leaving Trumbo reeling on the ground.
Just a minute, Pennock!
The murdered gold. Look around you. Look at all they've thrown away. Clothes, books, furniture of all kinds, stove, spinning wheel, and all the tools they need to build a home. Galloping after gold they are. What good is it? At the lasting thing is planting the ground, making things grow generation after generation. That's lasting, and there's contentment in it. Easy, rest easy now. Is that little bone in there, I think? It'll not be better tomorrow or the day after. That'll take time to mend.
700 miles of God's empty wilderness between us and California, and this had to happen. I'm sorry, Gramps. Looks like I'll be holding you back.
I'm in no hurry. The earth and the sun and the soil will still be there when we get there, Johnny.
Yeah, but not the gold, Grandpa. Not the gold. What about my $1,000? Who's going to pay that? What am I going
to
do?
Now, you take it easy till we're ready to hit the trail again. I'm in charge now, and those are my orders.
Fabian covers Trumbo over with a blanket. Later, the two men are seated on a wagon.
Well, Johnny, we're on our way. Hup!
The large wooden wheels of the wagon trace a path across land and through rivers. The solitary wagon heads across a deserted prairie. The two men on board eat and drink as they drive. Nighttime, the men arrive in Faro City, California. The bustling main street is lined with people. Trumbo brings the wagon to a stop in the middle of the street.
Johnny, you can get a bath and a drink. I'll look after your horse.
I'll help you unhitch, Grandpa. You better come with me.
No, no, there's a little friend here I have to consult.
Thought you didn't like liquor.
This isn't liquor. This is brandy, made from the grapes themselves. Here, try it. The golden elixir, the life for all men.
Life? That's a mortal enemy.
I forgot you were only a grown boy. Johnny, if you come back and find me talking, I'll be talking to myself. Just put me to bed peacefully. Go on and enjoy yourself.
Go on!
Trumbo jumps off the wagon, heads across the busy street and into a saloon bar called Golden Lily. Inside the thriving bar, Trumbo stops in his tracks as he spots Mr. Pennock. Without hesitation, he marches straight over to him.
So, you made it, Trumbo.
Where's Lily?
Haven't you seen her?
No.
You will, Trumbo. You will?
I'm asking you, where is she?
You can't get her off your mind, can you?
There's a lot of things I can't get off my mind, but I'm taking them one at a time.
You know, Trumbo, if ever you grow up, you'll learn that a woman's like a poker game. What you take in one hand, you drop in the next.
You were never in this game.
I thought I was for a while, but I lost to a heavier bid.
What do you mean by that?
If you want a drink, you better order it now. Our entertainer doesn't like drinks served while she's singing.
Whiskey.
Whiskey.
Same for me.
Lily, in a gold-colored crinoline dress decorated with large red flowers, takes center stage.
Who runs the cleanest gambling house? To ride, follow, link a die, do. Who runs the cleanest gambling house? Fun! Runs the cleanest gambling house. Come in like a lion, leave clean as a mouse. Lily I, oh. The mining man, he digs for gold. To right, following could I do. The mining man, he digs for gold. Dig! The mining man, he digs for gold, but it winds up here in my billfold. Lily I, oh, oh, oh. Lily I, oh. The lumberjack, he cuts the pine. To ride, bottling could I do. The lumberjack, he cuts the pine tree. The lumberjack, he cuts the pine. The lumber's his, but the jack is mine. Lily-I, oh. A respectable girl, she marries soon. To ride, bottling could I do. A respectable girl, she marries soon. A respectable girl, she marries soon, but the groom comes here for his honeymoon. Lily-I, Lily-I, oh, oh, oh. Lily-I, Lily-I, oh.
Wonderful as usual.
Lily goes over to Trumbo's table and takes a sip from Pennock's drink and removes Trumbo's hat before making her exit.
Singing pretty, ain't she?
That she is. Sit down, Pike. Mr. Pike, Mr. Trumbo.
Howdy. Sailor, huh? Ain't no stinking scurvy landlubber.
Pike, one of these days someone's just naturally got to spit in your eye.
Doggone my britches, Johnny Trumbo.
Well, Whitey, so you made it, huh?
Yeah, but a lot of them didn't.
You strike it rich yet?
Strike it rich? Ask that thieving gouger. He can tell you better than me. Go ahead and ask him, Johnny. Him and his Captain Coffin.
Watch your lip, farmer.
Not no more, I won't. Likely I'll get my teeth bashed in, but not afore I spoke my piece.
Come on, Whitey.
I ain't making out good at all, Johnny. I come out west expecting to find a free country, and instead I find a shark named Coffin squeezing the lifeblood out of the place. To work my claim, I gotta buy water from Coffin. I thought water belonged to God Almighty, but no, you gotta pay for every drop. I gotta buy Coffin's victuals at Coffin's prices. I gotta buy my tools off them. $100 for one little shovel.
Shut up.
Because I got a wife and kids back east, I do all this. I go into debt up to my ears to Coffin. Let him take the shirt off of my back.
Shut up. He's talking to me.
Day before yesterday, my claim starts to pay out. Pay out good. Right then, Coffin and his gang jumps it. Says they're foreclosing for debt. Drive me off in the place with pick handles.
Pike punches the man in an attempt to quieten him. Trumbo retaliates and a fight ensues. Pike pushes Trumbo to the ground, punching him repeatedly. Pennock intervenes, pulling Pike off of him. Lily, hearing the commotion, comes over to investigate.
What's the damage this time?
Just a chair and a table.
Sorry, Miss Lily.
I'm beginning to think you're too expensive to have around. It takes a long time to get furniture out here.
Lily, an old acquaintance. Slightly in need of repair.
Shall I throw him out?
No. Bring him back here.
Lily watches over Trumbo as he lies motionless on a couch. Slowly he stirs and sits up, clutching at his ribs.
Oh. I'm glad to see you're still living.
Well, I suppose I should thank you for taking care of me.
I told you once before how I felt about you. Nothing's happened to make any difference. Or have you forgotten?
No, I haven't forgotten, Lil. But I'm just beginning to understand something. No woman can go around hating a man the way you say you hate me. Not unless there's something else on her mind.
Babylon, Mr. Trumbo. But this I'll tell you. If you ever so much as set foot in here again, I'll have a better man than Pike throw you out.
You talk awful big. Like maybe you own the place.
I do.
Maybe I shouldn't ask how you got it.
How do you think I got it?
What I'm thinking you wouldn't like. Yeah, nothing too good for our Lil. Straight out of China. You must be quite a man to stake you to a layout like this. Ah, break. Nice shear.
For a mule skinny, you seem to know a lot about ships.
My father was first mate on a whaler. Yeah, she's pretty. Congo Queen, Pharaoh Coffin, Master. Coffin, now that's a name I keep hearing. Whitey, he said it. Pharaoh Coffin, there's an echo in my mind someplace. Congo Queen. I've got it. Sure, she's pretty. Pretty as a picture. Fast, too. She had to be. Now I understand everything.
Something amuse your friend?
No, don't tell me. I've never laid eyes on you before, nor you on me. But I'll bet you a dollar to one of your brass buttons that you're Coffin. Captain Pharaoh Coffin.
And I'll lay a dollar to what's left of your manners that you're Mr. Jonathan Trumbo.
Ah, Pike told you.
No, Pennock.
Well, you're a long ways from Africa, Captain, in the slave trade.
Only fools stayed in the African trade. Why should I crowd my ship with live cargo when I can get more for a shovel than I can for a black?
Oh, but running helpless little men off their claims with pick handles.
These are fast-moving times, friend. Helpless little men have no place in them. This is an odd place, though, to find a man who remembers the old Congo Queen. Fine ship. Fine name.
I remember her, not for her name, though, but for the blood on her decks and the smell of the slaves rotting in the hold. She was a floating graveyard, and when you walked along the streets, people crossed to the other side. They said you had the stink of death about you. Well, you might have washed it out of your clothes, but it'll take more than soap and water to wash it out of your mind.
Your tongue's outrunning your safety, friend.
No court would try you, Captain, because no one would hold that a black was a man. He was an animal which you beat and chained, and all he had to offer up against you was a prayer.
Bilge, Mr. Trumbo, bilge. Most men love the chains they wear. They need a master the way they need their mothers. I've heard such talk from pulpits, the meek shall inherit the earth. No, Mr. Trumbo, the earth belongs to the men who make the law, and the law belongs to the men who can lay it down.
You know, Coffin, for all your ways, I've heard it said that you're a scared man. Scared that one day a bolt would break or a chain would give. And the blacks had come swarming up over your quarterdeck. They said you kept the keys to the hatches in your pocket. But have you kept the key to hold over your mind? What do you dream about at night, Captain? Maybe you still hear the drag of the chains below decks. The chanting of the slaves over their dead. That's the truth of it, isn't it, Captain?
Pharaoh City, the truth has a price on its head. Don't speak it unless you're armed. Or intrude into another man's dreams. Unless you're prepared to pay for the intrusion.
Save your advice for those that'll take it at the end of pick handles. Well, I had you wrong, Lily. You don't care about anybody but Lily Bishop. I had you right the first time I saw you up in Pawnee Flat. And you were lying in the dirt, and I took you for what they said you were. You said the wages of sin are death. Looks like in Pharaoh City they come pretty high.
Lily fires a gun at Trumbo. Coffin grabs at her arm as she does so.
Why did you do that?
Better leave, Mr. Trumbo.
Why did you do it? Why did you do it?
Because I knew you'd cry over him afterwards.
On the shingle banks of a tree-lined river, dozens of men mine for gold.
Looks like she's petering out, Whitey.
Yeah, maybe if we stake the new claim, all we got here is Coffin's leaving.
Yeah, there must be easier ways of making a living without dying of pneumonia. What's that?
Somebody fell in a tree.
Coffin's at it again, damming up the creek.
The men stop what they are doing and investigate upstream. A workforce of men is damming the river. Pike oversees the work. As he hears the approaching men, he runs over to them.
You got no right to dam up this creek. And I ain't no use getting ornery, boys. Water is water, and mighty precious it is, too. And this here stream above, below, and in the middle happens to be the sole and peculiar property of Captain Coffin. Now, it ain't the captain's practice to give water away, but like always, he's willing to share it with them that is willing to pay. Now, I ask you, what could be fairer than that?
I thought this was God's country.
Not no more, it ain't.
What's Coffin aiming to do? Grab up the whole country of California?
Maybe you're righter than you know, brother.
You let him get by with this, in a month you'd be crawling the Coffin for a handout.
That's just what I was thinking. Look out, boys!
A man throws an explosive at the dam. As he runs from the scene, Pike shoots him.
Not now, Johnny. Better let him take this trick.
All right, who's next?
Come on, Johnny. Let's get out of here.
That's right. Come on.
288 dollars.
Keep it in a safe place, partner. I'll be around to buy it back.
Clem, I see your claim's paying off.
Right off the river bottom.
14 ounces.
$224.
11 ounces.
$176.
Trumbo takes his chips from the cashier, then wanders through the saloon looking for a table to join.
Game is open. Place your bets.
What's the limit?
$40. Five is soda.
Copper that tail, will you?
Just a minute. I thought I told you to stay out of here.
This is business.
I don't want any business from you.
What's the matter? You scared?
What have you got that I should be scared of?
Wouldn't be my luck, would it?
Get up, Mike. I'll take it. All right, boys, place your bets. This time, Trumbo, there won't be any burying money.
Lily, dressed in an elegant off-the-shoulder, full-length black dress and choker, wears her hair plaited and twisted over her head. She takes a seat at the table and deals the cards. Piles of chips are placed on the upturned cards as the game begins. As time passes, Trumbo finds himself on a winning streak, and his pile of chips stacked before him start to multiply.
You win again.
Let it ride. The limit.
The limit's raised.
A crowd gathers around the table to watch Trumbo's good fortune.
What has she got left?
Four stacks.
All right, four stacks it is. On the lady. That all right with you?
Anything you say.
Four. Three. Ten. Queen wins.
That's luck for you.
Pay him off, Mike. The game's closed.
You busted, Lil?
Looks like it.
Just a minute, Lil. I got an idea. Sporting proposition. I'll cut you. This against the whole place. Everything or nothing. High card wins. What do you say?
Better not do it, Lil. He's lucky tonight.
Once you said that you weren't afraid of anything I've got. Well, I've got this, and it says you've lost your nerve.
Pack of cards, Mike. Shuffle. always want to check them, don't you?
Always.
Luca.
Four of diamonds. You got a chance, Lil.
Go ahead.
Two of spades.
Well, looks like I'm the new proprietor.
Eddie, turn everything over to him. It's all in order, isn't it?
Yes, Miss Lily. Except for tonight, some sharper slipped this over on us. Dirt and lead instead of gold.
Well, that's a fool trick for anyone to do.
Yes. A man can get shot for that.
Not if he gets away with it, Lil. Well, drinks on the house, everybody.
Come on, Clem.
One drink we don't have to.
That's my stack.
In the empty saloon, staff sweep the stage floor as a barber gives Trumbo a shave.
Mr. Trumbo, this is Mr. Guntz. Says he can paint.
Yeah, what's he paint?
Names on shaven mugs.
A town full of beards?
Mugs is only a sideline. I'm the undertaker.
Well, could you paint a sign for out front?
Yep, plain or fancy.
Just big, Admission Day Saloon.
Admission Day? Me paint a thing like that? I don't know, Mr. Trumbo. California joining the union's getting to be fighting words around here. Some mighty important people against it. I'm a businessman. Got my customers to consider.
Why should you worry? They're all dead, aren't they?
Hmm? Yeah, I never thought of that. You know, I never looked at it that way.
Come on, Guntz. I'll show you what the boss wants.
Mr. Trumbo.
What's this?
A quit claim deed. Eddie will show you the books.
You don't have to leave. You can work here, you know.
Don't do me any favors.
I'm not. I need a singer. Maybe you can get a big piece of Coffin's money back.
It wasn't Coffin's money.
And whose was it?
Mine. I bought this place from Coffin with what it took me 5 years to save. But that's my business, not yours.
All right, Lil, if that's the way you feel.
That's exactly the way I feel.
Proud and defiant, Lily turns on her heels and leaves. Trumbo watches after her.
Mike, wrap up $1,000, chase after Lil and see if she gets it. Burying money.
Won't need no burying money where she's going.
Why not?
Coffin's place.
Hey, you. Captain's compliments. If he ain't too busy with these here newly acquired premises, he'd take it kindly if you'd step down to the hacienda. He'd like to have a bit of a word with you.
He would he? Want a drink?
Make it rum.
On the house, Pike.
Why would you be giving me a drink?
You got a nice, kind face.
A jug in your hand, why didn't you smack me over the head with it?
Ever hear of bullfrogs in a pond? Well, some sing big, some sing small. You, I can't even hear you. Go on, run along to your captain, tell him I'll be there.
Trumbo ties his horse up outside Coffin's hacienda. He strolls through two wooden entry gates into a large forecourt with a central pond and a water fountain. A flight of stone steps sweep up to the front doors of the imposing pink and cream building. Inside, he's shown into a room by a servant.
Well, come in, Trumbo. Come in. The captain's ready to see you.
Oh, of course, you two know each other. Let that bird alone, Bennett. Let him alone. Pleasure to see your prompt, Mr. Trumbo.
With fun or a fight, I always like to get there early.
Which do you expect this time?
You tell me.
When I invited you here, I must admit I didn't expect you'd do me the honor. I appreciate it.
That's just curiosity, Captain. I'd heard about this place, but I never would have believed it.
I hear you took over the Golden Lily last night. I like a man who takes what he wants, doesn't ask too many questions. I'd like to see him get ahead.
Yeah, but not too far ahead, huh?
I have a good piece of this country in my hands. You'd be very foolish to think that I'd let it go.
What's on your mind, Coffin?
I'll put it two ways, friend. I'll buy the Golden Lily at a fair price, and you can leave town. Or you can stay here and go along with me. You know what that means?
I'm doing all right alone.
Saloon keeper, any fool can line his pockets with silver dollars. Lift your eyes above your whiskey bottles.
On hearing the music, Trumbo turns to see Lily playing a piano through an archway of an adjacent room. She stares blankly at him.
I could possess this country, this California, and all the power that goes with it if I had a handful of men like you.
No deal. You may not know it, Mr. Trumbo, but you've just made a very dangerous decision.
You may not know it, Captain, but from this minute on, I'm going to start crowding you. I'm going to keep on crowding you till I've pushed you right into the Pacific.
Trumbo leaves the room.
Keep on playing with it. Keep on playing. Blast you, Pennock. Leave that bird alone.
What was that?
The clock, Captain. Just the clock.
Coffin becomes anxious and agitated. In the Hacienda forecourt.
I never found another island like that in all the southern seas. Such tranquility, such a paradise. Yes, a man could well forget himself there.
Why didn't you stay?
That horizon's too narrow for me. Alvira, per dirsi.
Dimmi, Capitan.
No. The only reason I'd ever go there again would be to take you with me. Did you hear what I said, Lily? I'd like to take you there someday.
I've been everywhere else. Why not?
No, no. I mean, as my wife.
You really mean that, don't you?
Ever since I first saw you. Does that seem strange to you?
All my life I've wanted to be just that. A wife. Does that seem strange to you?
No. I have no illusions that you'll love me. I believe we can be happy together. Let's put the past behind us. I know what they say about me, slavery, all the rest of it. Everything I did because I had to. Nobody ever helped me. Son of a drunken sail rigger. I took more beatings before I was 12 than any felon does in a lifetime. Ran away, slept under wharves like a rat. Till one day, I saw a captain step from his ship to the shore. Bright buttons gleaming in the sun. Giving orders like a giant. Like a king. I became the master of a ship. I'm master of a town, dirty, stinking place that it is. And tomorrow I'll be master of a country, yes, even all California. When that happens, I want you... Well, even listening to what I'm saying, you have the thoughts in your eyes. You're thinking of somebody else.
Yes, I am.
Who?
The little boy. I was trying to picture you, like you said. I'm beginning to understand you.
Lily.
Delighted, he kisses her on the hand. A member of staff blows out the lights after closing time in the saloon.
Good night, Mike.
Good night, Mr. Trumbo.
Trumbo carries cloth money bags into an office when men appear from out of the shadows.
All right, Trumbo. Don't bother to put those away. This is your last night in Faro City. Come over here.
You heard what the captain said.
There's a quit claim deed for the Golden Lily. There's a pen. Sign it.
Trumbo swings the heavy bag across the table at Coffin, hitting him around the face. Coffin's two stooges grab him, pin him to the ground and punch him repeatedly. Coffin gets up from the floor.
Stop it, get away! It's regrettable that a man has to be taught these lessons, but sometimes it's necessary.
Coffin gives him one final kick before his men tie him unconscious to his horse.
He's tied good and fast, Captain.
Coffin signals to one of his men to fire his gun. The sound of the gunshots makes the horse bolt off into the night. The following morning, the horse arrives at a small camp. Two Mexican men run over to help Trumbo.
Es un hombre.
Ayúdame a desmontarlo.
Está muerto.
No lo creo.
Back in Faro City, a gospel church is being built.
Hammer him,
Sure, a lot of building going on around here.
Church, new houses, a school. I tell you what, he's getting so civilized, they'll soon tell you where to spit.
Yes, sir, Pokey. Never thought I'd see a church being put up in Carroll City.
Here comes the stage.
Warren, you see that everything gets off all right. I'll find out where we go.
Howdy, Joe.
Howdy. You there. We're looking for Captain Coffin's hacienda.
Mister, you're the 17th party asked me that today. What's going on there, barbecue or something?
Come, man, pull yourself together. Where is it?
Well, if you point that there belly of yours south by southeast and keeps a following it and don't fall down no gopher holes, I reckon you'll get there. Mighty fancy looking man, ain't he, Whitey?
Inside the walls of the Hacienda forecourt, Coffin hosts an elegant party. Smartly dressed men and ladies in full-length gowns dance with their partners to the music. Lily, wearing a white crinoline dress, dances with a tall, handsome young Latino man. Coffin stands with three companions, watching her dance.
I always thought there was nothing but grizzlies and Indians out here, but I swear I've never seen so many beautiful women. Where do they all come from?
This is a big country, Creole. It's taken some of them days to get here.
Captain, I haven't seen Tomlin yet.
I'm informed that Mr. Tomlin met with an unfortunate accident on his way from Santa Barbara.
Bandits?
No, Senator, he talked too loud. Too long. Yes,
Coffin excuses himself from his guests and meanders across the crowded dance floor to Lily and her dance partner.
Don Luis.
Senor Coffin.
I'd like a word with you. At your convenience, of course.
At the conclusion of this dance, Senor.
They carry on dancing as Coffin stands briefly watching them from the middle of the dance floor. Fabian and another man play draughts.
Music won't help you now, me boy.
Johnny.
Johnny, come in. It's good to see you.
Hi, Grandpa.
Bring him some coffee. Sit down. We were wondering what happened to you.
Yeah, it wasn't like you to sell out and run off without telling nobody.
I didn't sell out. I was run out. Captain Coffin did a pretty good job, too. Almost perfect.
You've been gone 6 weeks now.
Well, I wasn't in the best of health when I left here. If it hadn't been for a couple of Mexicans, I'd have cashed in. They packed me 100 miles to a mission, hoping the Padres could cheat the devil. Well, they did. Whitey, where's your gun?
What you want it for? Don't do it, Johnny.
It'll do you no good to kill Coffin.
Men like Coffin are like weeds in the fields. You have to dig them up by the roots. Can't do that with a gun.
There'll be law and order around here soon.
There's talk already of a convention in Monterey to make California another state in the Union. When that happens, the law will take care of men like Coffin.
Sorry, Grandpa. I can't wait that long.
This proclamation, gentlemen, I'm sure you've all seen. It's been posted all over California. General Riley, Washington's latest gift to California, has designated September the 1st for a convention to be held at Colton Hall, Monterey. In the hands of the delegates to this convention will rest the decision as to whether or not California is to become a state. As you all know, I intend to be delegate myself. Even so, the convention may go against us, and it's to consider this possibility that we're meeting here tonight.
What is Senor Coffin proposing?
Immediate preparation for the armed seizure of the centers of power in California.
Isn't that rushing things a little too fast, Captain?
Too fast, Mr. Barrett? Nothing could be further from the facts. The whole country is rushing toward armed conflict. And when that time comes, my friends, a strong and independent California may affect decisively the outcome of that conflict.
Sir, I too would like California to be a great and glorious independent country. And yet, if the people should be against it, I would be a fool to fight them. Much blood has already been spilled on this beautiful ground. Too much.
The Senator, it seems, is asking a great deal of us. What can we expect from him?
Yes, if we're going to take the country by force, what do we do about weapons? Powder and shot don't grow on trees.
No, Mr. Willoughby, they do not. Before we adjourn tonight, I think I can promise you ample evidence of Senator Creel's good faith.
Caramel, caramel, luz de mis ojos, si luz no viera. Habías de ser hermoso faro.
Trumbo discreetly climbs over the wall of the hacienda. With the aid of a tree, he lands safely into the forecourt. He takes off his hat and smooths back his brown hair before hiding in an archway as a maid walks past. He watches her as she goes in through a doorway.
When occidente los tibios rayos del astro rey. Así murieron mis ilusiones, así extinguiéndose va mi fe. Carmen, Carmen.
Again, he's forced to hide in the shadows as a guard patrols the grounds with a lamp. Trumbo follows the path of the maid through the same door. It leads him into a chapel where the lady dressed in black kneels in prayer.
I suppose you could call me a guest.
Please do not tell the captain.
Tell him what?
I am not supposed to be here. He keeps the chapel locked.
Why?
That must be him now.
They hide.
Follow me, gentlemen. Perhaps you'll find these precincts overly pious. But I assure you they're practical. There you are, gentlemen. Guns and ammunition galore.
Fancy place for an armory, Coffin.
Even Mr. Willoughby could hardly wish for more.
Good heavens, no. Enough to equip the regiment.
And we ran him in, every one of them, didn't we, Pennock?
Right under Colonel Stewart's nose.
Stewart? Is he back in California?
Yes, he's in camp, not far from here.
You don't suppose he's got wind of this?
If I know Stewart, he's too busy with his own political career.
These are really very good guns.
Indeed they are.
Seems to me, Coffin, you've got all your eggs in one basket. Why not pass them around? Get them out of here.
We will, in due time. Come on, gentlemen. I think we've had enough proof of Senator Creel's good faith.
Don Louis, before leaving the room, stares with a look of uncertainty at the vast supply of guns.
Why does he have these guns here?
I do not know, senor, but no good can come of it. Do you think he is thinking that his house should be made into a hiding place for rifles?
I take it you don't like Coffin either. Why?
Is it right that a woman should have to steal a key to pray?
No, it isn't right. But maybe that's all going to be changed.
Be careful, senor. You are only one man against many.
You just forget you ever saw me.
Trumbo returns to the forecourt, where Lily sings on a balcony for the guests.
Look away, look away, said I to my heart, said I. Never trust yourself with a summer sky, a rambling arm, a roving eye. Every summer kiss brings an autumn sigh, said I to my heart. Said I, look away, there's trouble. A stranger has come to town. Look away, big trouble. His eyes are too soft and brown, brown, brown. Oh, does he think to win you with song and sigh, with rambling arm and roving eye? Does he think you'll smile and away you'll fly? Said I to my heart, said I. Goodbye, said my heart. Goodbye.
Lily rushes from her position on the balcony without acknowledging the applause of her appreciative audience. She flees down a flight of stairs, past a long buffet table, then skirts her way around the edge of the dance floor into a dark, quiet area of the forecourt. Trumbo hides behind some bushes, watching Lily as she attempts to locate his whereabouts. Trumbo sneaks up behind her.
What are you doing here?
Thought I'd like to see one of Coffin's fiestas.
You know this isn't a safe place for you.
Since when have you cared?
I don't.
Then why warn me? I haven't changed. Why should you?
Perhaps it's because I'm not afraid anymore. Of you, of anything. Perhaps it's because for the first time in my life I've got something I've always wanted.
What would that be?
I'm going to marry Pharaoh Coffin.
You don't love him?
He knows it. You wouldn't understand, would you, that a woman can sometimes manage without love?
Providing the price is all right.
A month ago, I would have hated you for that. Now it doesn't matter. I could even tell you I could have liked you. The way you were with the kids on the trail, the way you are with Fabian. You talk hard, but underneath you're human like everybody else. Why didn't you ever show that side to me instead of always trying to hurt me?
Why do you tell me now?
Because it's too late. Too late, Trumbo.
Lily.
Please go.
You were right about me trying to hurt you. I wanted to, I guess. Don't ask me why. Maybe I wanted to even up with a lot of other women.
Please go before you're seen.
And I'm going to hurt you again. Worse than ever. And I'm going to be sorry for it.
You can't hurt me. That's one thing I've promised myself. You can't hurt me ever again.
I came here tonight to kill Pharaoh Coffin. But I'm not going to. Not tonight. I found out enough about your captain to make me want to find out a little more. But I'll come back, Lil. And when I do, nothing's going to save me.
No, you mustn't.
Even if I loved you, you couldn't stop me now. Afterwards, go on hating me again.
Trumbo pulls away from Lily's tender hold. Lily's left confused and agitated as she watches him disappear into the shadows. With a furrowed brow, she starts to retrace her steps back to the party. Passing the entrance to the chapel, she notices the doors slightly ajar. Her curiosity entices her in. Coffin appears from the storage area containing all the rifles. On seeing Lily, he quickly draws the curtains across the entrance to the hiding place.
Lily, it's you.
I'm glad you came. My guests kept me so busy.
But I missed you. I need you. You must never leave me for so long again.
I won't leave you, Pharaoh.
What's the matter? You seem unhappy.
No, I'm not.
But just now when you were dancing, your eyes were smiling. No?
They will be again.
In all my life, I never want to cause you a moment's sadness. If only I could...
Coffin appears spooked by something. He looks away from Lily and up towards the ceiling.
What was that?
Only the wind stirring the branches, Pharaoh. Just the wind.
Coffin's unconvinced.
You know, for a moment, it sounded just like naked feet shuffling across the deck.
Lily looks at him sympathetically, then leads him out of the chapel.
Well, who are you? What do you want?
May I speak to you alone, sir?
No, you may not. Speak your piece and get out. Oh, it's you. Captain Odlum, Sergeant, close the door.
All right, Trumbo. I don't know what brought you here, but you know how the Army treats desertion.
I know, sir.
Consider yourself under close arrest.
I didn't wake you up in the middle of the night to put myself in the guardhouse.
What else do you expect?
I'd like to make a deal.
A deal? You've got nothing to trade.
Ever hear of Captain Pharaoh Coffin?
The man who's running for the Monterey Convention?
That's not all he's running for. What if I said he's setting himself up to take over the whole of California?
I'd say either he was crazy or you were.
Not if he saw the rifles he's been running in, enough to start a small war.
Can't hang a man for having a few rifles. Is that all the evidence you got?
That and some rumors and a hunch.
If I wrote down every rumor a fella gets around here, I'd need half the United States Army.
You make a deal with me and you won't need the United States Army.
Confound it, Trumbo. The United States Army doesn't make deals with deserters. You come in here with some cock and bull story.
Beg your pardon, sir. It's not a cock and bull story.
No?
You help me wipe out my court-martial, and I'll take Coffin off your hands.
How? Kill him?
Something like that.
That way of settling disputes is over, Trumbo. This is the day of pot bellies, frock coats, politicians, conventions. If you want to kill this man, kill him politically. Run somebody against him and break his back at the polls. Now, do you know anybody that's really respected? Integrity, honesty?
Yes, I know somebody like that. Michael Fabian, a farmer. But what if it doesn't break Coffin's back?
Tell you what I'll do, Trumbo. I'll take responsibility for you myself. I'll give you your freedom for 90 days. That's till after the Monterey Convention. Then you report back here and you face court-martial. If you don't, you won't get 2 years, you'll get 20.
Yes, sir.
Trumbo, one thing always interested me. That woman at Fort Marcy, just who was chasing who?
It's your guess, sir.
Hardly worth deserting for.
It's either that or shoot the husband. Anything else, sir?
You have 90 days.
Thank you, sir.
Trumbo and a group of men ride across open fields to Fabian's vineyard.
Fabian's gonna do it?
Got to! Well, Michael, what's the word?
By the way, whose idea was this?
Mine.
Oh, it was, huh?
If we let Coffin get to Monterey without putting up a man to run against him, we deserve everything he hands us. You've been yelling for a school. You even got him building a courthouse. What are you going to do, let Coffin sit in it?
I don't know, boys. I'm not one for being a politician. I'm just an ordinary man with dirt on my hands.
Well, maybe it's about time some ordinary folks took a hold around here.
Now, what about me vines? I've got things growing here. Who'll take care of them? They need care. Who'll give it to them?
Don't worry about your grapes, Michael. They'll be worked.
Well, boys, you've run me clean out of argument. I can see myself making speeches. But I tell you, I'm not going around kissing any babies.
Don't worry about kissing the babies. You just stand for office. We'll see if you get elected.
In a busy printer's, Trumbo looks at a black and white A5 flyer reading Fabian for Monterey. A man hammers a poster onto the bough of a tree promoting Fabian. A man approaches him, holds him at gunpoint, as his associate punches him in the face. They tear down his poster and replace it with one reading Vote for Coffin. Fabian addresses an adoring crowd and then enthusiastically shakes hands with his supporters. In Pharaoh City, crowds fill the street carrying placards for Fabian. Men file into a tent and post their vote in a ballot box. At the hacienda, Lily sits playing at the piano as Coffin nervously paces around the room.
How bad?
You're scuppered. Sunk.
Thanks to your friend Trumbo.
So Fabian goes to Monterey. That's bad for you, isn't it, Pharaoh?
Troublesome, perhaps. Even more so for Mr. Fabian. But why don't you continue playing, Lily?
Monterey.
We better let him get some sleep or he'll never get to Monterey.
Good night, boys. Thanks for everything.
Good night. Come along here.
Michael.
Lily, what are you doing here?
I'm asking you not to go to Monterey.
Why not?
I'm afraid for you. Don't you see this whole thing is Trumbo's idea? He's using you to pay off a grudge.
What are you talking about?
You don't know how to fight the way they fight. There's no telling what might happen when the cards are down.
The cards are down.
I know. That's why I'm asking you not to go.
A man can't keep out of danger by hiding under the bed. Sit down, child. This is a big new country, and the people came here to get gold, most of them. But now they've started farming and raising families, and you can no more keep them from making California a state than you can keep the sun from shining. Because they're ordinary folk, and ordinary folk are kind of stubborn about important questions. Don't be afraid for me.
I wish you wouldn't go, Michael.
I've been elected to go to Monterey, and to Monterey I'll go.
Lily looks worried. At Colton Hall, Monterey.
Well, Michael, you sure got coughing and sweating.
We're not out of the woods yet. We'll see tomorrow.
Yeah, your speech will have to be a powerful heap of words.
Hey,
Thanks, Abe.
Johnny.
See you later, Creel. Sorry to be so late.
Things going badly, Farrell.
I'll know better after tomorrow. Your friend Fabian's going to speak.
I'd like to be there.
You know, Lily, sometimes I wonder whose side you're really on. What have you got in the box?
My wedding dress.
Mr. Pennock sits at a table in a bar, drinking with two other men. He is building a house of cards. Trumbo enters the bar through a door positioned behind the men's table. The draft causes the cards to tumble down.
Yeah, who are you?
He's of no consequence. You're a friend of Senor Fabian's, are you not?
What about it?
Senor, as you may have observed, I'm a little drunk. It's not a habit, I assure you. Sometimes a man has thoughts. I'm Don Luis Rivera Hernandez. In California, that is an honorable name. With honor, a man should be more careful. Do you agree?
I wouldn't know.
Friend Fabian speaks tomorrow.
You got any objections?
Don't let him. If you have any influence with your friend, take him away from Monterey at once, senor. At once.
Why?
I do not like to see a man killed in cold blood.
Thanks.
As Don Luis pours himself another drink, Pennock comes up behind him.
Pour one for me too, Don Luis. I'm going to drink to your health.
Trumbo comes out of a bedroom and walks down a flight of wooden steps. Outside another bedroom door, he picks up a Stetson from the floor, dusts it down, and drops it onto a chair positioned by the door. As he is about to move on, he returns to the hat, picking it up with a puzzled expression on his face. He moves to the bedroom door, slowly pushing it open. Inside the room, Don Luis lays face down on the floor, dead. Trumbo goes over to the body and checks for signs of life. Horrified, Trumbo discreetly leaves the room, rushing back up to the steps and into Fabian's room, checking all around him as he goes.
Better be hurrying over the hall, Johnny.
You're not going to the hall, you're going home.
Home?
I got something to tell you. You're in trouble.
I've been in trouble ever since I became a politician.
They're going to try and kill you, Grandpa.
Who told you that?
A drunk.
And you'd be worrying about the word of a drunk.
Yes, when he's dead for telling me. There's something else you better know. It is I who got you into this. I didn't give a bent nickel for what you were fighting for. I wanted to fix Coffin. This is one way of doing it. That's why I got you to run against him.
Sure, I knew that the day you brought the boys to see me. All the same, I'm glad you told me.
Still gone?
Yeah, I'm gone.
It's that important to you?
Not just to me, Johnny. You forget the folks who voted for me. They want a decent government, and they kind of thought that I'd help them to get it. They had faith in me. I got to keep faith with them. You should understand that, Johnny.
I think I do. If it's that important to you, it ought to be that important to me.
Let's go.
I ask you, why are certain delegates in this hall so insistent on rushing California into statehood? How can we even discuss it when there are so many problems requiring long and careful study? The boundary question, for one. I say this whole measure is ill-considered and premature. Statehood now can only make California a pawn in the conflict already threatening to separate the rest of the country.
Yeah. Order! Order!
If this measure is passed, it is inevitable that those favoring an independent empire, Republic of California, they must either separate themselves from it or contest the decision by force of arms.
No. Gentlemen, order!
Mr. Fabian.
Mr. Speaker, gentlemen, talk, talk, talk. For 5 weeks now, there's been nothing but talk in this hall. Well, I suppose that's what a convention is for, talk. But a minute or two ago, Mr. Willoughby was talking, and he made a slip of the tongue. And more than that, Mr. Willoughby let the cat out of the bag. And a clawing, screeching cat it was in a very thin bag he was in. Independent empire, said Mr. Willoughby, and then made off it was a slip of the tongue. It was more than that. Independent empire. That's the scheme they have. The scheme to wreck this convention and wreck the future of California. Now, I'm a simple farmer. What I know is the sun, the soil, how to make grapes grow. I'm not a politician. But I know who's in that scheme for an independent empire. And if a simple farmer knows, you all know. Every man jack of you knows. And the men in that terrible scheme aren't here to tell you what the people of California want. They're here to tell you what one man wants. You all know who he is. Captain Farrah Coffin.
Order!
That man wants to run California all for himself. But it's us who settled it, and it's a land for the people like all the United States. We want to make it a state, not an empire run by Captain Coffin. That man's trying to get his way by bossing this convention. Next, he'll try it with guns and wholesale murder. Now, I say that's nothing but treason. Here we are, men from every state in the Union. We're farmers and miners and everything else. What we want California to be is what she should be. Another state in what I believe to be the greatest land on earth.
Gentlemen, there'll be a 10-minute recess.
Keep me well covered.
Pennock stands at the base of a flight of stairs. Leading up into the meeting room, he draws his gun. A man is shot protecting Fabian. Trumbo returns fire, shooting Pennock.
Dead. Have a chance.
Pick him up.
Trumbo, Fabian, along with a couple of other men, carry their friend out of the room. Coffin watches on, and then convenes in a huddle with a group of men.
You've got to have some law and order around here, all right.
That was a bad move, Coffin.
Nothing left but powder and shot.
Not for me.
Me either. Personally, I'm going to be on that stage when it leaves this afternoon. Anybody care to join me?
Coffin is left alone as the four men beat a hasty retreat. His expression is one of anguish and deep concern. Coffin at the hacienda.
Well, is he here?
Si, senor. He is in the chapel.
Get Miss Lily at once.
Si, senor.
Hurry.
Ah, good morning, Padre. You brought your beads, your things. What is it you wish of me?
A wedding. The young lady will be here presently. I want you to marry her.
Wedding? And those armed men are the wedding guests?
This is more than a wedding, little man. This is a coronation. I should have got a bishop. But you'll do, you'll do.
I cannot perform such a ceremony.
What?
There'll be no ceremony. Senor Coffin, you're a man of blood. You cannot use the Holy Church as you would your chapel.
Your church and your mumbling bead, I'll tear out every root you have in California.
Your hands cannot reach deep enough.
I'll be using your missions for pigsties. Where is Miss Lily? You heard me. Come here. Where is Miss Lily?
Her bed has not been slept in. She's gone.
It's a lie. You knew.
Since last night, I helped her.
Get out, both of you. Get out. Get out!
Enraged, Coffin paces frantically up and down inside the chapel. Pike enters the chapel.
Pike, Captain. I gotta have a word with you.
Why haven't you gone? I gave you my orders.
Supposing Fabian ain't back from Monterey yet.
He'll be back. If he isn't, plenty of others to dispose of. Remember, he's the most important. I've done with him. And I want no blunders.
Lily, I can't run away now.
Michael, you don't seem to understand. You don't know what Pharaoh Coffin is capable of.
If I leave with you and let him have his way, I can never come back, nor can you. You know that.
I'm not coming back. Once I thought California would be big enough for me. It isn't. Everything I've touched, it's as if it had a curse on it. Even you. Oh, Michael, come away before something happens.
What's this?
A group of Coffin's men ride up to the vineyard on horseback, shoot one of Fabian's workers, then turn their guns on Fabian. Lily rushes to his side as the men gallop off on their horses, but it is too late. Lily, dressed all in red, tenderly holds Fabian's hand. Trumbo and his men arrive on horseback. Dismounting, they tend to the worker lying dead amongst the rows of grapes. Then Trumbo strides sorrowfully over to Lily, still kneeling by Fabian's side.
I tried to tell him. He wouldn't listen to me. I was too late.
You're all too late.
Better lift him to his cabin.
As the three men tend to Fabian, Lily sadly walks away through the vineyard, turning every so often to look back at the sad scene. Then, with a sense of urgency, she runs back to her horse and trap and at top speed races off along a dusty path through the picturesque countryside. A group of men led by Pike gallop on horseback through a river and across some fields to the gates of the hacienda. Pike swiftly jumps from his horse, races across the forecourt, and joins Coffin, who eagerly awaits him on the steps of his balcony.
Well, all your orders have been carried out, Captain.
Including Fabian?
We done him in proper. He'll make no more speeches where he's at.
You came back, Lily.
Yes, Vera. I came back.
Lily points a gun at Coffin. Pike swipes the gun away. Lily drops to the floor.
You blundering swine. Get out of my sight.
Lily. Lily.
We're going into town. Get moving.
As Pike and his men prepare to head off on their horses, Trumbo, with dozens of men wielding guns, arrive at the hacienda.
Has a rifle, use it now. Pick off anyone that shows his nose over that wall. We gotta keep it well covered.
I'll keep all shooting.
We'll never make it now. They got the gate shut. We've thought of that. Right?
Yeah. You got it?
Sure have. Let me have it.
Trumbo lights the fuse of an explosive.
Keep it covered. Go, Frank, let's go.
Holding the explosive in his hand, he rides towards the hacienda and throws it over the wall. With the gates of the hacienda blown wide open, Trumbo and his men ride inside. Chaos ensues as Pike and his men desperately try to fend off the ferocious attack. A man standing on a wall high above Trumbo on his horse leaps down onto him, knocking him to the ground. Trumbo wrestles with the man. He punches him in the face as he gains control of his enemy. Trumbo gathers his men, and together, holding a long wooden beam, they bombard the inner gates to the courtyard. The men push a cart containing logs in through the gate. They crouch down behind it, using it to shield them. As the battle continues, Pike creeps into the house through an open window. He runs down a long corridor into a room where Coffin and the maid look after the wounded Lily, lying with her eyes closed on a couch.
They forced their gates, Captain. We're done for Scuppin. But I have a pair of horses by the side patio that might still be time to make a run for it.
Oh, what will be? They're alone, Pike. Stark, Barrett, Willoughby walked out on. Save their skins.
Come on, come on. We'll ride out of here. Get back to the sea.
Was it who struck her?
You must hear me, Captain. It's off now or we're dead, both of us.
It was you who struck her. You struck her, Pike. Get out. Get out.
Aye, aye, sir.
Pike reluctantly retreats, glancing over his shoulder at Coffin as he goes. Shutting the door behind him, he stops in the corridor to release the safety catch on his gun, before hiding in a recess as he hears footsteps approaching. As Trumbo draws level with Pike, he jumps out of the shadows, attacking him from behind. Trumbo falls to the floor. He plays dead, fooling Pike. Taking advantage of Pike off guard, he trips him over. They both scramble to their feet, drawing knives at one another. As the two men cautiously maneuver around each other, they wait for an opportunity to strike. Pike lurches forward. Trumbo is ready for him, and with all his might flings him backwards off of him. Trumbo lashes out with darting movements with his knife about Pike's face. Pike, nimble on his feet, moves quickly away from Trumbo. Pike takes hold of a wooden chair positioned in the corridor and slides it swiftly between them. Trumbo forcefully takes hold of the chair, tossing it aside. With a final struggle, Trumbo gains the upper hand, pinning Pike to the ground. Then he plunges his knife twice into his torso.
Thank you.
Exhausted but unable to let his guard down as he hears the sound of nearing gunfire, Trumbo enters the room containing Coffin and Lily. Coffin stands with his back to the door. Trumbo hides as Coffin walks over and talks to a brightly coloured parrot standing on its perch.
What do you say, bosun?
How goes the night?
First bike, eh?
Bike!
You betrayed me, eh? Took the keys, unlocked the chains, and set those black slaves free, hoping they'd help you. Where's the sun? How can I see a black against the dark? Hear them. Pike! Yes, I know you hate me. When I took you out of Africa, from the stinking fever, I put you in chains, yes. Yes, but you struck her. Now, you want to kill the master, eh? Oh, you fool. What'll you do when the wash ships over the gunwales? What'll you do when the mast goes by the board? What'll you do when the night comes down? Pike! 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 Oh. So it's you. You're going to die.
As he prepares to shoot Trumbo, Lily takes control and kills him first. Trumbo, surprised, turns to see Lily standing behind him. Her face is expressionless.
I remember these vines, and they were just a bunch of dead sticks.
You know, it's as if I was seeing them for the first time. The way Michael always saw them.
Yes, he saw a lot of things most folks missed. Well, this is a goodbye, Lily.
Where are you off to, Trumbo?
Got a date with the army, remember?
How long does it mean?
A year? Two, maybe?
Trumbo. You'll come back, won't you?
Where'll you be?
Right here. Waiting.
Trumbo scoops Lily into his arms and kisses her passionately. He takes a long look at Lily before mounting his horse and riding off through the vineyard. Lily sadly watches him go. The end.